Hey, listen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday morning. Comedian Tig Notaro joins us at 9 o'clock this morning. At 8 o'clock, we're going to unveil the winner of our jingles competition. Earlier today, we gave Ralph Garman, DJ Omar Khan, and Beer Mug a challenge to come up with a jingle for an imaginary sci-fi movie called Kangapete, which is a kangaroo mixed with a centipede. And the challenge, not
Centipede the movie.
No.
Just to clarify.
This isn't like a human centipede, as far as I know. Right. So the challenge is to see who can come up with the best jingle for the movie, because all three of those guys are pretty good at it. So we'll have the winner unveiled in about 20 minutes. So that's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But first, here's my question for you guys. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
The crazy is somehow turned up extra high in Florida in the last couple of weeks, Kevin. I don't know what the hell is going on, but more and more bizarre stories are coming out of the Sunshine State. America's Penis, back in the news. We've talked about a story like this in the past. If your dog fell into a lake with alligators, what would your move be?
Rescue the dog, kill the alligator, and eat it.
Really?
That's my move.
Would you jump in? Would you jump into a lake full of alligators if your dog was in there, or would you just say, "See you, dog"?
I don't know. That's a tough one because your first instinct is protect the dog,
right?
But then you would be an idiot,
right?
Unless you're me, and then you would take care of business.
Well, if you're Lori Beiswinger, who lives in Inverness, Florida, she admits it was the dumbest, bravest thing she ever did. She was planting trees on the Point of Woods golf course, which she owns with her husband, when she heard her little dog Hope scream. He had gotten into the water and had been attacked by an alligator. The alligator was pulling him through the water. What did she do? She jumped into the water herself and began pulling on the alligator's tail until the alligator turned around, let loose of the dog to turn around and come toward her. She hurried back from shore, and a golf course volunteer who was nearby heard her screaming. He grabbed a shovel. He managed to get the dog out of the water and hit the alligator with the shovel. And the dog is fine. And then they came back the next day and killed the alligator and cut him up and sold him to a restaurant for meat.
Come on.
And they wore him for a belt.
I wouldn't be surprised. Hope, the little dog, had to undergo 3 hours of surgery for a severed artery from being bit by the alligator, but is expected to have her stitches removed this weekend and is going to be fine. I love this dog. By the way, Little Hope was adopted by this woman when she was due to be put down, and the dog later survived getting hit by a car. So is she a wonder dog?
Are we positive the dog's not trying to end it?
It does sound like
Hope wants out of that family.
This dog is trying to commit suicide or something, and her poor owner will not let her. But anyway,
what do I have to do to get away from this woman?
Seriously, I'm jumping into a pond of alligators. How much more clear can I make it? Let's go to Tallahassee, Florida. This is a very troubling story. Homer Williams is his name. He walked up to the front of a car that was waiting in line at the McDonald's drive-thru there at the corner of Monroe and Orange, and he said, "Hey, can I have a cigarette?" And the mom, who was behind the wheel with her three young daughters in the car, by the way, ages 13, 12, and 7, said, "No, I'm sorry, we don't smoke. We don't have a car." So the man did the only reasonable thing to do in that situation, Kevin, and that's to stand in front of her car in the McDonald's drive-thru window, drop his pants, and masturbate until police arrived.
What?
When the police arrived, he told the man, "I didn't do anything towards those people," but he, of course, knew that there were people in the car, but the restaurant manager said a video will be released to the police so they can get it on tape. But yeah, he was arrested and booked. Did he think
like the 7-year-old was holding out?
I don't know.
In the back seat.
Did he want the cigarette for after? Like, there's so many.
That's a good question.
Maybe that's a great question. Here's a lot of people are protested with the way things work in government, and they look for some way to get their intentions known. This is a guy in Winter Haven, Florida. He got off of a bus at a bus stop at the Winter Haven Area Transit Terminal, but then he decided he wanted to get back on the bus and travel to a different destination. Oh, no. You know what? This isn't where I meant to get off. I want to go further on the bus. And the bus driver said, "You can do that, but it's going to cost you another $2 for that part of the ride." I don't know what the circumstances were, if the driver was just being a dick, if it was an honest mistake, or if the guy, you know, just changed his itinerary, decided he wanted to go someplace else completely different. I don't know what the circumstances
were. Did he drop his pants in front of the bus?
He did not. Oh. He did become extremely agitated, though. He exited the bus, went into the terminal area, then he turned around and went back to the bus and ran into it head first, trying to headbutt the doors of the bus in protest.
That'll show him.
That's how angry he was if he had asked for an additional $2. What do you suppose happened when the man headbutt the bus?
He got knocked out?
Knocked himself out right there. Yep. He police were called, and he was taken to the hospital, and he's fine. But that's not an effective protest. Maybe you lose more than the bus company loses if that's the case.
I don't know.
Right?
That guy really? I mean, we're all right with that guy going away.
Here's a woman who decided that she was going to walk out of a grocery store with a ton of groceries. In fact, she had two full baskets of groceries, $476 worth of groceries at the Publix there in Kissimmee, Florida. She probably would have gotten away with it, except for the fact that while she was deciding to doing the shoplifting, she had three kids with her. She took the 3-year-old with her when she tried to flee, but left behind her two 11-year-old girls.
That's going to leave a mark.
Both of whom, by the way, knew their own phone number. And when the police arrived, because these girls were left behind at the grocery store, said, oh, yeah, here's my mom's number. So, of course, the police just went to their house and said, how? What? Hi? What? She went home with all those groceries and left her kids. She left witnesses in her own family behind at the grocery store.
She was counting on those kids knowing how to survive in the wild.
I guess that's what it is.
They both run different directions and they're perfectly fine.
They would be better off without her, I think. She was charged with grand theft, child neglect, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor, by the way. That's not a very well thought out crime, I don't think. And finally, here's 66-year-old Omar Rodriguez, who has been convicted of first-degree murder. He's a bad deal, by the way. In recent years, neighbors have filed more than 140 complaints with the police about this man. He has also filed numerous handwritten lawsuits about neighbors and the police in the neighborhood. So he's just a guy who's never happy about anything. And he had it up to here with one of his neighbors allowing his dog to poop in Omar's yard. Omar shot the man to death.
Shot the man to death.
Fortunately, the dog didn't get hit, but fired two shots at Jose Ray, one of his neighbors, last month when he saw him in the yard letting his dog poop on his lawn. You can't let your dog run around the neighborhood and poop in everybody's yard. You can't do that. We all agree that that's uncool, right?
Yeah.
It does seem like maybe this is a step too far. I don't know what options are available to you. I don't know how responsive the police could or should be in a situation like that. But I feel like taking out a gun and just laying the guy out in your front yard is not going to end
well. I just want to clarify.
He's not going to do it again.
It sounded like you were fine with the guy dying as long as the dog was okay.
Essentially, that's true. Okay. Look, how many Floridians do we need to keep alive? Come
that's
on.
True.
Anyway, that's all stuff that happened in 1 week, and we've just barely scratched the surface, and that's why we asked, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
Backstage passes and tickets in the pit for the sold-out Q-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. Give you a chance to win those coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, the show is Saturday. All right, I guess we got to deal with this. I guess we can't avoid this anymore.
We, white man.
So here's the short version of this story. In November of 2005, I came across a story about a guy named Al Jessup who just fascinated me because he was living in a tiny town called Beckley, West Virginia, and he lived in a trailer with his elderly mother. He must have been in his 60s at that time. And he had 13, not the little like DirecTV type dishes, but the giant satellite dishes. And he got over 5,000 television channels in his trailer.
That's the greatest life ever.
That's Nirvana. Yeah.
A trailer and 13 just freaking intercepting signals from aliens in the sky-sized satellite dishes.
That's right. So he was watching like camel races out of Dubai, and he was watching beauty pageants in Mongolia. I mean, you can't believe the crazy channels that this guy got.
How do we know this? We called him and we talked to him for what seemed like a year.
It was the worst interview in the history of this radio program, and that is saying something.
That's true.
So I fell very much in love with Al Jessup, so I made it my business the following spring when I was visiting our old friend Frank Murphy. You guys remember Frank, our former producer. I was visiting him in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I thought, hey, I'm only 250 miles away from Beckley, West Virginia. I'm going to ride up to Al's place and get me some TV time.
I wouldn't cross the street to meet Al Jessup,
that's
by
what,
the way.
The same.
Let alone drive 250 miles.
Give me some TV time. What are you talking about? You do nothing but watch TV.
Well, I guess now we know what TV time means.
True.
Don't we, Kevin?
True. So I went to Al's house, and I took him out to dinner, and I, you know, we just hung out for the day and just had a great time. In fact, it was a big deal having somebody from Hollywood visit Beckley, West Virginia. We
sure.
got written up in the newspaper. Hollywood mm-hmm. radio host shows up at Satellite Man's door.
Yeah.
This was in the paper shortly after I left. And I am quoted in the article as saying, I thought, well, Knoxville is only 250 miles away from Beckley. It was too good of an opportunity to not meet Al. He's my hero. He's my personal lord and savior. I mean, how many people in all the world receive 5,000 channels and he's got no wife to tell him he can't do it? He lives the perfect life.
Yep.
So I'm there in print and living in perpetuity on the internet as being a supporter of the great Al.
He's
Jessup.
Your lord and savior.
He is my lord and savior.
Those
are the words that I said. He's my hero. All right. Fast forward to last week. And I says to the guys, I says, hey, we got to catch up with Al Jessup. We haven't talked to him in years. If he's still alive, it would be fascinating to hear what Al's life has become.
By the way, that never would have passed muster on the show. We never would have let you do that.
That was horrific the first time.
It was brutal.
This is a guy who would put the phone down. B would go, how much does it cost for these satellites?
Well, I got the receipt here someplace. I'm going to go get it. I'll find the receipt.
No, it's fine.
Back to the phone. I'll find it. I'll go.
And that was like 5 minutes.
Right.
And then B would ask another question.
Well, I got the paperwork over here. I'm
going to
find it.
It was terrible.
It was a nightmare.
So I says to the guys, let's get Al Jessup on the phone. In fact, I still have Al's phone number, cell and home, in my phone. Hmm. I'll give it to producer Dave, the King of Mexico. Let's at least call Al and see what he's up to.
Do you guys text pictures back and forth?
No, we did not.
Does cell number have a different meaning now than it used to?
So Dave calls the numbers and comes back to me and says, bad news, Al's probably dead because both of his numbers are disconnected.
Al wishes he was dead.
He will be soon.
And I thought, oh, man, that's so sad. What a terrible end for what a great America.
Yeah,
well, I start doing a little internet sleuthing, and I come across this article from August of 2014. A man who was well known for selling ice cream around Beckley, West Virginia. Yeah, he was the ice cream man in town.
His nickname was the ice cream man.
Mm-hmm. Was arrested on Wednesday in connection with sex crimes. Officers with the Beckley police arrested Alvin Lee Jessup, also known as the ice cream man, on 2 counts of possessing child pornography and 2 counts of prohibited child erotica. The first 2 charges are felonies, the others misdemeanors. Police searched Jessup's home in connection with a prostitution investigation. While they were there, they found VHS tapes, which they say had video of female minors who were engaged in sexually explicit conduct and child erotica. He was evicted from the same home on July 20th. So he's arraigned. He goes to jail. The following article has him getting into a jailhouse brawl and having his arm broken by another inmate.
Yeah, the inmates draw a line at child porn.
Yeah, they don't like short eyes.
Seriously,
they're called short eyes?
Inside, they're called short eyes. Yeah, short eyes. These are the guys who like little ones.
So now what's happened is Al was evicted, by the way, because he wouldn't take his satellite dishes down so that they could paint his house.
No.
That's
right.
Why he was evicted.
Well, he didn't want anyone coming into the house.
And then somebody went into the house and found child porn. All right, so recapping now. I'm on record, online for to live in perpetuity in a newspaper article with these words. He's my hero.
Yep.
He's my personal lord and savior.
Right.
And now we know why it was worth driving 250 miles.
Now the man is in prison for child porn. And by the way, another article that came up on Al Jessup is that he was also adding a special substance to the ice cream that he was selling around town for 31 years.
Yep. They said there were cockroaches, but that's not the worst part of the story.
Right.
Then you know, oh my.
There was witnesses seeing him perform an act and then going back into the ice cream.
Now, it's more cream than ice.
After the act.
Oh,
it goes without saying, you guys, that in a billion years,
you're a liar.
I never, ever, ever.
Oh, I'm just going to take this 250-mile detour away from my friend's house because it sounds like a good idea for TV time. That's it.
Yeah.
And because there's a desperate shortage of child porn in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Look, I didn't know anything about this. And maybe, maybe in retrospect I could go, why is a 60-year-old man living in a trailer with no wife and no kids and living in a trailer watching TV all day? What's going on with that guy selling ice cream in, in the park? But I didn't expect anything like this. This was horrific for me to start uncovering this information.
What a shocker that must have been.
It is a shocker.
I
had no idea
Hitler wanted to kill all those people. He was a nice man. He was a neighbor. I lived near the bunker.
We've heard this kind of talk before.
I took Al Jessup to lunch.
Yes, you did.
And I shook his hand.
Yep.
And now he's in prison for child porn, you guys.
Yep.
No bueno.
Well, he's your hero.
He's not my hero at all.
He's your Lord and Savior, I believe.
So we thought...
I'm Chris Hansen, and I have to say, B, do you remember when you were watching some of those channels that were available at Al Jessup's house in the trailer?
Were channels that were available at Al Jessup's house, Chris.
That's some sweet tea. It's free. You're free to go.
We're going to take calls if somebody got arrested for something and you were shocked, like being shocked
about
this.
You considered this person a friend or a family member, and the next thing you know...
Or a Lord and Savior.
And the next thing you know, you're arrested, and all of a sudden, it's somehow your fault. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next on K-Rock. I'm happy to see these calls that I'm not the only one who went through the traumatic experience of finding out that somebody you had vouched for is a bad, bad person.
The idea that you would vouch for him is insane to me.
Why?
Because you didn't know anything about him.
I hung out with him for a day, though. Well, I thought I had a pretty good read on him. Talking about Al Jessup, former Kevin and Bean guest back in 2006. Here's what it says from the paper, by the way. The two, talking about me visiting him, the two had lunch with Jessup's mother, Patty, at Ryan's Steakhouse and enjoyed an afternoon at the Jessup household watching television.
In quotes.
You know, it seems so innocent now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What happened to your friend or family member and you were shocked by it? Why don't we start with, these are terrible calls.
These are all bad.
This is awful.
I thought your story would be the worst.
I'm just now looking at this. This is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Let's start with Tyler in Los Angeles, please, on line 3.
All right. Hey, Tyler.
Hello.
Who was this and what were they arrested for?
So this is a friend of mine from college. I've been in L.A. for about 18 years, and I got a call from my cousin a few years ago, and he said, hey, do you know a guy named, I'm going to use a different name, Bob Smith? And I said, yeah, I know Bob Smith. Why? And he said, well, he was just arrested for murdering and dismembering his father.
Holy crap! Dude.
Yeah. Apparently, he had some mental issues after I knew him. And
after I knew him.
This is the guy I used to hang out with and party with.
All right, Tyler, so let me ask you a question. After knowing that, do you look back in retrospect and go, wow, I missed this and that, or no?
No, not really. He just snapped. So, and I've been away from the area for a while, but he just went nuts. So he got in a fight with his dad and ended up getting in an argument and knocking him unconscious, and then
and then cut him up.
Cut him up and put him in bags and put him in
ice cream.
A car,
oh, dude.
No ice cream. This was in Virginia, so
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much, Tyler. Let's go to Greg in Anaheim, please. He's on line 5. Hey, Greg, thanks a lot for calling. Go Ducks! What's going on, man?
Hey, about 3 years after I left my junior high school, my sister also used to work at my junior high as well as a librarian.
Right.
And we were watching To Catch a Predator, and we saw one of the teacher's aides who's helped out the special ed kids on there. He was going in for, some boy he was trying to – well, you know the show.
Yeah.
He was
what to you? What was the relationship?
He was one of the TAs for the special ed group. He was around campus a lot. He was like their shadow.
Did you ever call him your Lord and Savior?
No, I didn't get that close to him.
Can you imagine you're sitting there watching TV and somebody that you know walks into the house on To Catch a Predator with Chris Hansen? Can you imagine what that must? You must have just been flipped out.
Yeah, my sister was like, "Oh my gosh, is that him?" And like we like waited till the end of the show because we didn't have TiVo, and we waited till the list of all the people. We're like,
wow. Incredible. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to, can this person's name be Favorite on line 2?
I mean, I guess it could.
Yeah, that's my name. Favorite.
Favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, so it sounds like you and I have something in common. I have Al Jessup. Who do you have in your life?
Yeah, I had a coworker, and I mean, it's the type of coworker that, like, you know, makes work better and fun and, you know, a great reason to go to work. I'm sure all you guys have that experience with each other.
Sure.
But, so the type of person, you work all day, and then you go get drinks and shoot pool and all that stuff, and then one day he doesn't show up for work. It was like, huh, wonder what happened. And then, like, we get a report, like, he was arrested, and his entire garage was just filled with kiddie porn the videotape type stuff. So he was actually, like, involved with it, too. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Like, and you think you know that person, and you have no idea that they're living this entirely separate, sick, secret life. It's just, it kind of shakes you to your core a little bit, right?
Yeah, it hurt. It was like, man, I thought this was a friend. And it's like, now I have to second guess all my friends now, I guess.
At any point, did you turn on the TV and hear, I'll just be your secret lover?
I don't know that that's not what happened there. Thank you for the call. Favorite, appreciate it so much. All right, let's go to Ben. He's in Chatsworth. He's up next on line one.
Hey, Ben.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for calling. What do you have to add, sir?
So when I was in college, freshman year, I met these two guys. They were fantastic. One of them is still the smartest man I know. We hung out a lot and then kind of lost touch with them for a while. And then the next time I saw them, it was when they were being arrested for murder in the first.
Oh, wow.
For first-degree murder?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, he murdered the other guy?
No. They had another friend, thank God, who they decided to kill his parents and for the inheritance money, and then they were all going to live on the beach because vodka and meth will do that to you.
Wow. But, Ben, why weren't you good enough friends that you were included in that circle, dude? They left you out of this on purpose. They had a foolproof plan to retire rich, and they didn't share it with their friend Ben?
It wasn't quite foolproof, as it turns out.
There's that.
Yeah, this was in North Carolina, and it's out on the beach. And it's astonishing when you try to kill someone with a baseball bat how far you can see a fire away when you've burned the bat on flat ground. It's really, really surprising.
I feel like there's a lot more details to this story that we need, but we don't have time.
Yeah. Crazy, Ben. Well, looks like you're going to have to make your money your own way, dude.
Do you remember the movie A Family Torn Apart, Neil Patrick Harris, Johnny Galecki?
Not even a little bit. Friends.
That was my friend.
Oh, you mean they made a movie about the case?
Yes.
Crazy times. Hey, maybe I can play myself in the Al Jessup movie.
There's an option. There's a career path.
Yes.
And boom.
Bean, you can be on TV and you can hear.
You know, if you had me naked, I'd want more.
So at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, we welcome to the studio Emily Gordon, because her name's easy, and Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, my God.
Right? You have been nailing it since teasing it yesterday. I'm proud of you, Kevin.
But so we teased it. We did a little promo, and I said your name right the first time, by the way, which for me is something. And we did a little dance, and I was happy. And then we played it, and then people started tweeting me, no, you're saying it all wrong.
I saw tweets saying that you had said it wrong, but I hadn't heard it. If you'd said it like that.
You did.
Yeah, nothing but that.
That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Nothing but that.
Nothing.
Yeah. You really did my name, too, so good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's actually Emily Gordon.
Emily Gordon.
Tell us about the Indoor Kids.
Oh, the Indoor Kids is a podcast that Kumail and I, who we are married, have been doing for the last few years.
Yeah, it's a video game podcast, but we also talk about like all pop culture stuff. So movies, comic books, TV shows, mostly video games.
Essentially anything that keeps you indoors and keeps you from going outdoors.
So your message is, hey, kids, stay indoors.
Yeah. Listen, I stayed indoors all the time, and
look at you.
Look at
I mean, I don't know if I turned out fine, but I'm just saying, if you want to be this, stay indoors.
And I can vouch for Emily's skin.
Yeah.
Looks amazing.
Oh, I appreciate that.
There.
That's really, and
stay
we're on radio.
Indoors.
I didn't even have to.
You didn't have to.
But you ran around like fields and stuff.
Oh,
She grew up in the South.
I grew up in the country, so I was outdoors a bit more than you. I also don't know that children should listen to our show. It's quite healthy.
We do swear a lot. But Emily spent a lot of time playing in ditches full of old refrigerators and stuff.
That's true.
What? That sounds bad.
What?
I grew up in North Carolina, and there was a gully behind our house where when you were finished with appliances, you just put them there.
You just threw them in there.
What?
So there's a huge
what
ditch
are you talking about?
Full of old fridges.
Washing machines,
people just
radios.
Leave their cars around.
Was it like a known thing? Go to this ditch
well,
if you need to get rid of a dryer?
Yes. The neighborhood gully was like
Don't be crazy. Not for everyone. Yeah. Just the neighborhood.
Public. apologies.
Didn't anybody say, hey, somebody might get injured there?
Well, we weren't really supposed to play there, which is why it was all the more fun to play there. Yeah.
They're basically daring you to play there.
Yeah, exactly.
They were going inside refrigerators and stuff.
No, we wouldn't do that. You take the doors off
the
refrigerator.
She's not an idiot.
Come on, we're not animals.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
I got to tell you, I grew up in Phoenix, and I was outside all the time. I would leave in the morning and then come back at night, hopefully.
Did you just have a job?
No.
Your job was to be a kid.
I'm saying when I was a kid, you just go outside, you play outside all day, but I didn't ever get to play in fridges.
Yeah. Our biggest toy was like an old rusted car that we just played on. This makes me sound much more country than I actually am or was. I also had toys.
You're lucky to be alive is what it sounds like.
I think any childhood.
I'm lucky that she's alive.
Yes. Aww. A little cheesy, but we'll accept it.
Nothing but net.
By the way, you said nothing but net when I said your name. You said nothing but that. I just want to make sure that everybody understands.
Yeah, I'm not that foreign.
Nothing but net.
Oh,
nothing but that.
I thought it was even. I thought that was great. Like nothing but that, because that was so good.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't want to jump in because I wasn't sure, but he just said it again. So now,
said it again so that you would know. I said nothing but that. But nothing but that is good too. That's my new.
I'll say nothing but this. That's going to be my new catchphrase.
Nothing but that over there.
Now, did you play basketball? Have you ever played basketball? Because that's a basketball phrase.
A video game basketball.
No, I'm... Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. I love NBA. I follow NBA now, but I never grew up playing basketball. Well, nobody really played basketball in Pakistan. We would play in fridges that America sent over.
If you're going to sell out my childhood, let's sell out yours a little bit.
That was Emily. That was not you.
But I'm a huge fan of basketball. Chicago Bulls, all that stuff.
Still the Chicago Bulls?
Yeah, I still love the Bulls. I mean, you know, I jumped on the Clipper bandwagon a little bit when that was happening. Wait, are you Lakers?
That's not cool, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a rough time.
It is a rough time.
We're in a recession, basketball recession.
Yeah.
This is all I know.
It was good.
That's my contribution
well done.
To this conversation.
No, that's good. You only need like a couple of phrases and you can just get involved in every conversation.
Nothing but net is one
that's
of them.
Basketball recession is another.
So you guys, this podcast has been going for how long?
Five years.
Maybe about 5 years. Yeah, absolutely.
And Emily, you didn't start on it, but...
No, I wasn't the original co-host. I was brought in because it was originally the co-hosts were picked by Chris Hardwick because we're a Nerdist Network podcast. And then once the other one had to leave to go back to school, Kumail was like...
Yeah, hey, she was 14. Yeah. I'm joking. No, she was in college.
That's right. Summer's over.
Yeah, so the summer she went back, and I was like, oh, Emily would be perfect, because we play games together anyway.
Yeah.
So you came on just a few months into it.
Yeah, it was maybe like 6 months into it.
Yeah.
Is Hardwick like a dark lord? Overlord? Like, does he really just say what happens and then you guys have to do it?
Is that how he rules his kingdom? I mean, I think he used to be, but now he's more hands-off, I think. Yeah. It's so big now.
Yeah.
So he has, like, underlings who sort of do his bidding.
Does he have a moat? Because I heard he had a moat.
Yeah, he's got a moat around the At Midnight studio. Can I get to him?
Around his dressing room, there's a moat.
I think he had like a vision initially of like, well, I want these things to happen. And so he would call a meeting and be like, hey, do you guys want to do this stuff? And people would be like, sure. And then now it's like huge amounts of people are all taking
it. Yeah, like when he emailed me and was like, do you want to do a podcast about comic books? And I was like, I don't know. I know more about video games. So he's like, okay, podcast about video games. And that's how easy. And
that would sound like a very inspired leader. What do you like? Yeah. What do you do? Video games? All right.
Well, actually, that's inspiring.
I think that is inspiring. Yeah.
Do what you do, but for me.
Okay.
That's a great leader.
Yeah.
But Emily also has a book coming out.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I wrote a book about, that's a self-improvement guide. And it's a genuine self-improvement guide because I was a therapist for many years, couples and family therapist. But it's also kind of funny and has some memoir parts thrown into it. I kind of wrote it as a letter to my teenage self, which was not, you know, I was playing in all these refrigerators. Yeah. So it was a mess.
You needed some help then, not now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have that. That's coming out at the end of September, September 30th. It's called Super You.
Super You.
Yeah.
Kumail, let's talk about her like she's not here.
So okay, great.
You start dating a therapist.
Yeah.
That's rough, right?
Well, my dad's a psychiatrist, so let's not read too much into that.
All right.
Wow.
Let's not worry about what's going on.
You don't feel like you're constantly getting updates on what you should be thinking and doing?
Well, I need that, though.
You do. Okay.
I do.
Oh, I can't tell.
Well, Well, here's what it is. Emily is a therapist, uh-huh. but she's we don't like bring that doesn't come into.
What if it does? You're very quick to be like, "Hey, what you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I was just giving you. Yeah,
I'm not paying you.
By the way, it's not like I want to be a therapist in my off time. You don't want to do work when you're not.
I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying that you're used to helping people with their lives, and so maybe you give a lot of advice. That's all.
It's suggesting. I
would say I can get away with very little.
Because she knows exactly what you're doing and where you're coming from and all that?
Yeah, I can't lie to her. No. She knows every single time I lie.
Wow, you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah, like just yesterday I was away in San Francisco for a day and I came back and first thing she asked me, she was like, "How many cigarettes did you smoke?"
Listen, now that makes me sound terrible.
Not terrible. You're right.
You came to kiss me and I was like, "Oh, I smell cigarettes." Mm. That's not a therapy degree that helps me. No master's degree. I was like, "Oh, I smell cigarettes." And so I was like,
there's no way you smell cigarettes. I brushed my teeth so many times.
So you're saying she's lying.
She caught me. She was right, but I don't know. I don't think she smelled them. I don't think you smelled
the
cigarettes.
What do you think? It was just a lucky guess?
Yeah, it wasn't a lucky guess.
I mean, it was just a guess. I think she knew from my eyes that I was hiding something, and it was two cigarettes.
I think you were overestimating my abilities, and I just used my olfactory sense and nothing else.
I washed my
face. So how many cigarettes was it?
Two cigarettes.
Two.
Emily, how many
now,
was
Emily,
it?
Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm. How many was it?
Because if he says two,
he says two.
He means like six or eight.
And I trust him.
It was two. Yeah. I mean, you know, and two's bad because if I'd said
more
one. The difference between one and two is huge, apparently, right?
I mean,
Look, see, that's right there. He's asking you his therapist. That's happening.
But she's
right.
What am I doing?
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
What's happening right now? Any of you guys smoke? Do you guys smoke?
No. Yeah. I don't. No.
Have you ever?
No, I never have.
Nobody.
Either.
Nobody.
Not seen.
I never have. But you know what? I had a bunch of friends who were trying desperately to quit for a long, long, long time, and I just kept going, well, that doesn't seem
My parents both smoked.
Mine did too. My parents worked for a cigarette company.
They worked for Camel.
Wow.
Well, yeah. R.J. Reynolds.
And you never smoked?
Never smoked. Because that's how you rebel.
All right.
My dad.
Were they lighting up all the time at home?
Yeah, for a bit. And then they started smoking outside, and then eventually they both quit. But
they also have like a lot of like, they would get all the like prototypes of products. So when bars had started banning cigarettes, Camel, RJR was doing a lot of like, they were trying out stuff. Mm-hmm. So they had all this stuff in the house. One was just like a stick that you chewed on.
They were, like, trying really hard to get into the vaping business
but
before
was,
that became huge. Like,
before vaping became vaping, So they would have, like, five different products to get
What's
people.
What's the stick that you chewed on?
It looked like a black crayon. It looks so lame. And you just kind of
yeah, cigarettes look
suck
cool.
on it at a bar. Cigarettes do look cool.
Unfortunately, you're right. Cigarettes do look cool. You are right.
Oh. Yeah. Marlboro Man is not sucking on a big black crayon. You know, he's got a little cigarette. He's on a horse.
Are we still, what are we talking about
Yeah,
here?
Is that right?
All right. We need to take a break. Kumail Nanjiani is here. Emily Gordon is here. We'll be right back. Kumail Nanjiani is here. Emily Gordon is here.
Now you're just showing off.
Yeah, right?
It's nothing.
I got it.
It's nothing. I do that all the time. No, I'm just kidding. We were talking during this song about your relationship and how it got off to a bit of a rocky start. It sounds like there was some cloak and dagger stuff going on.
Sure. I mean, you know, our relationship itself wasn't rocky.
Oh, so beautiful.
I didn't mean it that way.
No, I just mean, my parents are very, you know, a traditional Muslim family, and they wanted me to have an arranged marriage, and they would send me pictures of girls, and I kept saying no, and the girls did get more attractive as it went.
I like that your mom knew how to evaluate Pakistani women and be like, oh, this one's hotter. I'm going to save this one for when he says no.
Was it your mom or your dad that emailed them?
My mom.
Your mom. Sure. Okay.
It's the ladies run it. So there's like a system kind of, right? So there's like women who are like older women who are like sort of pillars of the community who like my mom would go to and be like, all right, let's do something for Kumail. And she's like, okay, great. This is a great time of year. I've got, you know, great new harvest just came in. Now Emily's like, what the?
Did your mom start taking offense? Like, come on, I'm giving you some good photos.
I'm sure she was frustrated.
Yeah, she was.
Pakistani Tinder, really.
It is.
You were swiping
I was swiping left.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to swipe right. But the funny thing is, so these women have these, and they get pictures. Like, so there's, these pictures are not pictures that women have gotten taken on their own. It's just, mm-hmm.
They're
just
not
like
glamour shots or headshots. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like surreptitious pictures at weddings and stuff. So a lot of them will be like a girl eating dinner at a wedding, her mouth's open. Like, you know.
Really?
So yeah, I would get these pictures and they were like just caught pictures at weddings.
Mama, it looks like she eats well, but
yeah.
Other than that. So you kept saying no, kept saying no.
Yeah, I just kept saying no because initially it just felt too weird to me.
Did that make them mad?
They weren't. They didn't get mad yet.
Okay, I know not yet. Okay.
They were exasperated.
They were very frustrated.
Yeah. Okay.
And they were like, hey, man, what's going on? You got to figure this out.
This is your job.
This is your job. Well, this is their job. And then eventually I met Emily, and then we got to the point where we were like, all right, let's do this.
Now, how does that go over when you go back to the parents who are trying to set you up?
Well, it was interesting because it took Emily you a little bit to understand that you were kind of a secret.
Yeah. I didn't love that, but like I didn't get. I was like, just be open with your parents.
It's just tell them the truth.
Just like a traditional like American, like I was rebellious too. I had piercings. Like,
you don't understand.
Very different.
Yeah. I didn't smoke. That was my rebellion.
I was a bad kid too. I get it. And yeah. It took me a while to get like, oh, this is a huge thing, and it means a lot for him to kind of defy this kind of cultural part of your life in any
way. Yeah, it's a 1400-year-old culture that's still very, very, you know, it's very tight. And so I just kind of told him, I was like, hey, good news, bad news.
Which one do you want to start with?
Yeah.
You want to start with the good or the bad?
They were like bad, and I was like, she's white.
You mean the kitten you rescued?
How long had you been dating and or married before you brought her up to them?
It was over a year.
We've been dating about a year.
Not much over a year. And
Did you have the rule, like, don't answer my phone, whatever you do, don't answer my phone?
Oh, sure, yeah. I had to be quiet when he was on the phone with his family. Yeah, I'm not great at that.
Yeah, 100% the rule was, if I call, don't say anything. And this is funny, when we were getting, oh, God, this is a long story, so I'm not going to get into it. But there was a reason for one reason, we had to find a Muslim name for Emily. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, Iman, we just came up with it.
So your parents were like, okay, she's white, let's just give her a name so that it fools people?
Well,
what's the?
This is what it was.
Okay,
I'll tell you.
All right.
The guy who came to marry us, the Muslim priest guy.
To perform the ceremony, yeah.
He was like, what are their names? And my mom was like, his name is Kamal. And he's like, that's a beautiful name. And her name is Emily. And he was like, I'm not going to marry someone named Emily. On the day they were going to get married. So my mom is like so upset. She's like, I'm so sorry. This guy is being a jerk.
So we came up with a workaround.
Changed so we were like, great news, different girl. Her name
of.
Yeah, Iman. She still looks like a white girl from North Carolina who played in refrigerators. But, and then my grandmother tried to make Iman stick.
Which David Bowie's wife. I'm all for that.
Name. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's a great name. But
grandma kept calling her that?
A little bit.
Hey,
For a little bit, she did. And then.
She was hoping, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was just hoping.
Yeah.
Actually change it.
Yeah, she was. And it was like, she was like, how's Iman? And I was like, I don't know any Iman. Emily's doing well. But my grandfather, who's since passed away, was very, very sweet. And he wrote Emily a poem. And
really?
Aww. Emily very did. Accepting and wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, he did rhyme Emily with family. Which
by the way,
delightful.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Yeah.
So it could have gone a lot worse.
It could have gone a lot worse. My family was very accepting.
Yeah, and my family really loves you, and they really like welcomed you. And when I told them, I was like, hey, this is going to happen, they were like, all right.
They did try to rub off one of my tattoos.
They did try and rub off her tattoo on the day of our wedding.
You mean put the,
yeah, we're just
did
like,
she lick
oh,
her thumb?
Is that a real, yeah, it was like a
she licked her thumb.
Yeah, and I was like, nope, that's not going anywhere, buddy.
You're going to get some lasers involved.
And I had purple hair. Part of my hair was purple. And when you told your mom that on the phone, she laughed. And I was like, well, I guess I'll dye the purple part of my hair.
When Emily, for a little bit, she used to dye her hair a lot. She had it like black. And my mom was like, her hair looks beautiful right now.
I did dye my hair black, partially to make your family happy.
They loved that hair.
I looked very sickly, though.
You looked super white, though, with black hair,
right?
It was,
yeah, people kept being like, oh, I hope you feel better. And I was like, okay, cool, thanks.
I'm actually fine.
Yeah.
Camille Nanjiani and Emily Gordon. Gordon are here. They're going to be, you're going to be doing a live podcast.
Yeah.
The Indoor Kids.
Yes.
Noon on Saturday as part of the LA Podcast Festival. We're going to be doing a live show. We don't do live shows super often. And so they're more fun. We have more like bits prepared. We have great guests this time.
Yeah. We have our friend Jared Logan, who's a writer for the Corden show. And we have Thomas Middleditch, who plays Richard on Silicon Valley, which is the show I'm on on HBO.
We've got some fun stuff planned.
So yeah, we have like great stuff. And it's going to be the four of us doing a really
silly.
Yeah, funny.
Do you involve the crowd much, or do you just do this?
We will. Yeah. We usually do audience participation stuff. And we always do like a Twitter game where we have people, we'll do like a dumb pun and have people like sound off. And Camille is notoriously really, really bad at these.
Oh, I hate puns so much.
I love puns so much.
I hate them so much.
I love them so much. Yeah. Yeah. Like very different.
Yeah. I can see that.
Oh, dear God.
It's great to watch like a really talented professional comedian just be like, yeah, it's great. I love it.
I'm sorry, again, it's tomorrow at noon?
It's at, Saturday. Oh, today is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Uh-oh. Yes, it's tomorrow at noon.
And if you want tickets for the LA Podcast Festival, you go to lapodfest.com and you can get those. And your book is called
Super
You.
You
Can Do It.
Release Your Inner
Super You.
You can do it.
Super You.
I changed the name. That's actually a really good idea.
I didn't remember that.
You said it with such gusto. I was very impressed.
You can do it.
Yes, it's called Super You, Release Your Inner Superhero, and it's going to be out on September 30th.
Emily V. Gordon.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in. It was great to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a fun time.
And enjoy tomorrow.
Thank you.
Look, we're all adults working here, right?
Why, no, apparently
why
not.
Why does this happen? Why do memos like this need to go out to
why
the staff?
Why does evil exist in the world, Bean? Well, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Why? What's up with man's inhumanity to man? That's the question.
That is that's questions that's been around as long as man has been around. Now,
right.
Kevin, when you got this this company-wide email a couple of days ago, tell me the truth. You thought it was a forwarded joke? You didn't even think it was real?
Yeah, why would somebody write this for real?
Kevin thought it was a meme that someone got off the internet and said, oh, well, this was posted someplace in Boise, Idaho. Aren't these people crazy?
Look at this. Aren't they nuts?
No, it's our company. This came from our company.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It is for reals.
You want to read it, Ralph? You want to have the pleasure of reading
it? I'd love to. Thank
because
you so much. You
know, there's a certain amount of anger that
I haven't been as excited about anything in a long time as I have this email. So I am honored that you would ask me. This is an actual email that was company-wide sent to everyone who works for this particular company. All right?
Yeah.
All employees, dear meatloaf thief.
See, right there, I was like, this is awesome.
At some point today, someone we work with took another employee's lunch out of a community fridge, had a few bites, and then had the audacity, all caps, to dump the rest of it in the sink with the fork sticking out of it.
Oof.
So not only do we have a thief among us, but a rude one at that.
This is real!
In comparison with all of the nice thieves.
Do not take, all caps, what doesn't belong to you. That is stealing. Whether it be a wallet, a phone, or a slice of meatloaf.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Taking what is not yours will get you a one-way ticket out of this company. Forever.
See, so that this can't possibly be true.
No.
Your livelihood for a bite of something you didn't even like? Lame.
Okay. So, all right, but let me just clarify again. If they liked it, it wouldn't have been so bad.
If they'd eaten the evidence,
no problem.
It wouldn't have been a problem. But the fact that it was sitting there, meatloaf with a fork in it in the sink, it was adding insult to injury.
It was pretty aggressive.
It's anarchy.
Yeah.
It also sounds like, by the way, it might be, if depending on how great the meatloaf is, it might be worth giving up your livelihood for. But not for a bite of something you don't even like.
It's like a serial killer who leaves trophies behind for the police to find, you know?
Very Hannibal.
Like a head on a post or something.
Yeah, it's Hannibal.
Oh,
sure.
It's evil.
It's Meatloaf Hannibal. Do you think that Meatloaf Hannibal intentionally, like, as a warning to the other coworkers, as some sort of statement, do you think he knew what he or she was doing and left that meatloaf in the sink?
Yeah. That was a message.
As a message?
Oh, whatever you're eating, it can be mine.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Said
no attempt
meatloaf
to cover
Hannibal.
It up at all. Throw it out. Nothing.
Nope.
No. Because I'd do anything for lunch, but I won't do that.
Nope.
Oh. See, we were all having a good time.
Wasn't that fun right up until right then?
We were all having a good time.
Yeah.
File.
Okay.
The email continues. There's a Ralph's across the street.
No, no, no.
There's a Ralph's across the street. Go get their nasty meatloaf.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
I knew you'd go. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
Why?
We want it now! The meatloaf!
Why does the person who wrote this want to hate on Ralph's meatloaf?
First of all, I've had Ralph's meatloaf, and it's quite acceptable.
Not to this person.
No, apparently their meatloaf is so spectacular. Meatloaf Hannibal is stealing it and then leaving the corpse in the sink for all people to see as they walk by in the community fridge.
This person that's writing this was how many seconds from destruction?
Oh, this person is furious.
This person is barely able to see what she's
like
typing.
10
she's so
more
angry.
Seconds, she explodes.
You ready for you want chapter
there's
two?
More. Yes. There's more.
There's a second chapter. There's a new subject head in the same email.
Okay.
Now, let me ask before you go on, Ralph, because you seem to really be amused by this.
I am relishing this. Are you kidding me?
And my question to you is, do you think that the email should not have been sent out at all? Or do you think it should have been sent out and should be much more reserved? Is your problem that she seems overly concerned with the meatloaf issue?
What do you think? As someone, Bean, who...
Bean's having trouble reading this one.
I think maybe because Bean is also the guy who gets passionate about the smallest of details, that perhaps he feels sympathetic towards the author of this email.
Well,
but I think a more appropriate email would have been, lunches have been taken from the community fridge here at the office. But please refrain from doing that.
So you think it's too much anger? HR. This anger is not relative to the offense, is what you're
saying.
That's
what I'm saying.
A one-way ticket out of the company, period, forever, period, you think may be too much.
Maybe a little bit.
All right, let's hear part two.
New subject line. Bathrooms.
Oh, no. They're taking on bathrooms.
This isn't also going to involve meatloaf, is it?
I think they're related. I didn't realize we employed children here at CBS Radio.
That's your mistake.
Yeah, really?
Come on.
You ever seen one of our Christmas parties?
What is wrong with them?
That could be the only explanation as to why it's so difficult to find a flushed toilet in this joint.
The joint now.
Or why we have to wade through a sea of crumpled up used towels to reach these nasty stalls. I wonder if the nasty meatloaf ends up in the nasty stalls.
What kind of all hell is breaking loose?
Flush your toilets and throw your garbage in the garbage, all caps. As my dad likes to say, what are we, barbarians? Apparently, really gross ones.
We are watching a coworker have a nervous breakdown, you guys. And I don't know who to turn HR into, but somebody needs to help HR.
Look, I get that a lot of people are tired of politicians. Politicians have done themselves no favors with the way they behaved over the years.
But it is hilarious that the Republicans are determined to elect a man president who has never held an elective office. I mean, they are convinced that the way to go is to get somebody in there with no experience.
Hey, I'm just glad that Donald Trump is not alone anymore in entertaining us.
Yes, Ben Carson is really stepping up. He is. I think Bill Maher called him a sleepy McCrazy Pants. I think is what he called him the other day. Ben Carson, who I am now becoming every bit as fascinated with as I am Donald Trump. By the way, he is a pediatric neurosurgeon. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Doctor, right. But he says the craziest things, and he also puts out the craziest campaign ads. I don't know if you've heard this yet or not, but this was Ben Carson's ad that he paid for and bought time that aired on radio last week.
Hear, vote, inspire, vote, revive, vote. Ben Carson, 2016. And support Ben Carson for our next president and be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility, hard work, creativity, innovation, and that's what will get us on the right track now.
He's not a very good rapper, I gotta tell you.
What a dynamic and exciting man he is. Anyway, Dr. Ben Carson very well could be the next president of the United States, so I think it's about time for us to start sucking up to him, and he joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, doctor, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What about that rap ad? You don't strike me as a guy who maybe necessarily is into rap music.
Oh, see, that's another misconception that the media are trying to trying to smear me, has been saying that I'm not, you know, black enough.
Are you happy with that ad?
I am happy with that ad, and I think it's representative of me and how I love mad beats and how I can flow.
And Dr. Carson, you have said in your book that not only you attacked your mom with a hammer, but you also tried to stab your friend. And now media's coming out and saying, we're looking into his past. None of these things appear to have happened.
Yes.
What's going on?
That's exactly the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Uh-huh. How the media is trying to make it seem like I didn't try to stab a guy to death when I was 14.
Wait.
And that I didn't attack my own mother with a hammer, and I think that's reprehensible that they're trying to say that I didn't do those horrible things. I did do them.
I heard you saying that at the end of last week, and I thought, what presidential candidate is arguing with people that he did try to hit his mom with a hammer? That's insanity.
But what's insane is that the media is trying to make it sound like I didn't hit my own mother with a hammer. I mean, come on.
Maybe they're trying to help you out.
Well, that's not. They're saying that I'm a liar. And when I was 14, I tried to cut a bitch.
Okay.
And that, you know what they don't understand is that I'm a bad mamma jamma.
Okay.
And that my mother, she did not come correct. So I had to step up to it, the bitch.
Right, but it just seems like with the hip hop and the gang violence that you're admitting to or possibly making up, it just seems like you're trying to come off as hard and street and tough. And there's nothing wrong with just being a smart intellectual guy in a suit. That's fine too.
No, I'm not. I am a smart guy in a suit, but I'm also thug life, yo.
And you're not thug life, Dr. Carson. I'm not getting the thug life vibe from you.
Well, it's there.
You okay.
You just have to pay attention to all the OG gangsta stuff that I do.
I feel like you're close to falling asleep every time I see you on TV, especially during the debates. It seems like you can barely keep your eyes open. You don't seem like a guy who's coiled and ready to strike.
Well, I think what this country needs is someone who's even-tempered and is reasonable and who believes that being gay is a choice. And
I'm sorry, what?
Being gay is a choice people make, and that sometimes you got to stab a bitch. I think everyone, that's the kind of president this country needs, not politicians, but people who don't understand homosexuality, who attack their mothers with hammers. That's what America needs.
Sounds to me like you got a new campaign slogan, Doctor.
Yeah. Pick up a hammer for Ben.
I'm not sure that's it.
Hit your mom with Ben.
I don't
know.
No.
Stab a bitch.
No, what?
Stab a bitch and hit your mother.
Nope.
In 2016. Hit your mom. Hit your mother. Her mother with a hammer.
No, that's terrible. That's not.
Stab one of your friends.
That's a terrible thing to say.
For America.
Yes,
in 2016
USA.
With Ben, who's a bad mamma jamma. Also, as well, too.
USA! USA! USA!
You know, I was thinking about this over the weekend, Kevin. You know how I am with lists. I always like to make lists.
Yep.
And I was thinking, if there were a Mount Rushmore for K-Rock, I think Robert Smith would be up there. I think Afro Man would probably be up there. Maybe the Cobain Kid.
Right.
And this guy,
Dave Gahan.
The Flobots.
Joining us in, maybe the Flobots. Right. Dave Gahan joining us in studio for the Kevin Beach Show from Depeche Mode and from the Soul Savers. Good Dave, morning. How have you been, my friend?
Oh, good. I was just checking my own Rite Aid list right here that I have in my pocket on the way back to the hotel.
Yeah, I got to take care of some errands. Sure. How you been, man? You look great.
I'm good. Thanks very much. You know, it's been a while, but here I am.
Again. Here you are indeed. And there's so much news going on with you, including a sold-out show at the Ace Hotel in downtown Los Angeles tonight for your band, The Soul Savers. And we are going to be playing some of the new music here in a minute. But let's get the backstory for folks who, hey, that's the guy from Depeche Mode. Maybe they have missed what you've been doing on the side the last few years, which is Soul Savers, which is a fascinating project to me. Why don't you bring us up to speed on that, Dave?
Yeah, well, we did a record before called The Light the Dead Sea a few years back, and really, it's just like a continuation of that. Rich Machin and I, who's basically Soul Savers, it's a production team of himself and Ian Glover, and they're just outside Manchester in England, and we just really continued writing, and it became this record, Angels and Ghosts, you know, we put together this band, great musicians that all come together. We've been rehearsing for the last few days, and yesterday the gospel singers came in as well, and the whole thing came together. It was amazing. So, you know, I feel very fortunate. I get to be in these two bands, you know, but and one definitely feeds the other. I mean, when I say that, I mean that. The writing, especially in between these two records, Depeche Mode put out a record, Delta Machine, and we toured with that. Seemed like forever, and which was very successful. And it was great. It was fantastic. Actually, it was a great tour. And then pretty much, I was kind of like, you know, I've got to take a break now for a bit. But that writing thing came up again and started, you know, keeping me awake at night. And this is what came.
How long can you just have downtime before you start feeling that itch to do something?
You know, it used to be like I feel like I want to take a lot of time, but I don't know. After a while, it's like you can only stare at the walls for so long, and, you know, got to get out of bed, got to do something, got to stop watching TV. That doesn't last so long anymore. You know, it doesn't work anymore. But
other non-music hobbies, though? Are you a private pilot or a cook or a photographer or anything like that?
I do like to cook a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm any good at it. But
what's your specialty?
Because some people have a hobby that really they can't wait to get off tour or whatever because it occupies their full time. Now I'm going to do my passion. You know,
my hobby is doing nothing. I like
doing
to
nothing.
You know, I live in New York City, so I like to get out and about. I love to walk around, just be, you know, part of the city, and, you know, sit down in coffee shops and listen to other people's conversations.
What's it like for you in New York City? Do you get recognized all the time?
It's like. I do sometimes, you know, people come up in the street and it's usually nice. They're very, you know, kind of just, hey, great, you know, love your music, all that kind of stuff. But I don't get bothered that much.
Is it very different than it was at one time for you?
Yeah. I mean, when I come back to LA, I'm always, you know, things come up and it's weird. It's kind of like in some ways it's like, it was yesterday, and in other ways, it was a totally different life. You know, it's been a long time since I lived here. It was like 20 years almost. And
wow.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right? I was thinking about that the other day. But, you know, New York's been my home. My family's there, you know. And, you know, Jennifer, my wife's listening in right now. She's here in the city. Hi, honey. I'll be back soon.
And he's stopping by Rite Aid on the way out of here. Don't worry. He didn't forget whatever the list was you gave him. He's got it. Okay.
That's for me.
Dave, let me ask you this. You talk about how you got the itch to start writing songs. And if you're just joining us, this is the voice of our friend Dave Gahan here on the Kevin Bean Show. The band is called The Soul Savers, and we'll be playing their music for you in a minute. When you got the itch to write, you knew that the songs that you had in mind were going to be Soul Saver songs, or could it have gone either way? Could those same songs have ended up being Depeche Mode songs if that's what you chose to do with them?
A couple of them, yeah. I think that could have happened. In fact, one of the songs, Shine, which I hope you play, that's one song that we were beginning to record Delta Machine, and that song was in my head, and I'd sort of done a rough demo. I'd sent it back to Rich. He had sent me this guitar line, which was basically sort of slidey blues part, and I'd written this top line melody and some words, and just kind of threw it together and basically put it on my iPhone and sent it back. And he was like, "Whoa, it's fucking great, mate. Yeah, we're going to, you know," in his Manchester sort of drawl. And that song was the one song that I did actually, I thought about playing to the band, because, and then I was like, it's different. You know, I got to keep it separate. But I was writing a lot of stuff for Delta Machine as well at the time. There is a difference.
You can tell.
I can tell.
That's interesting. And Soul Savers, you would say that whereas Depeche Mode obviously is in the great electronic tradition, Soul Savers is more organic than that. And by that, I mean maybe more blues, more gospel, more country.
Yeah, and it's more, we're very conscious about not putting everything on the grid, and sort of it's musicians playing together, and that sort of takes a while to come together. When it works really well. And also it's about space in between the parts. In, you know, any musician knows what I'm talking about. It's about creating those places where you can go off in your own imagination and, you know, get into the song and not fill it all up too much with everything. Like, feel like you've got to kind of just, you know, use up all the space.
Right.
I read an interview with you talking about how you go back to Depeche Mode after you work with this particular project, and you're actually a better songwriter for it.
Yeah, well, that's true to say. I think that. It's all learning, you know. It's weird.
Should we
it's
ask like, them?
Well, yeah, they might say something different, but I don't know. I think Martin would probably agree. I mean, it takes time to sort of, you know, I've been doing this for, I don't know, 15 years now, actually, like, professionally writing songs, if you like. One does feed the other, and I think that one of the great things about it is the different people that you work with and the different people that you write with, it challenges you, and it takes, you know, maybe your idea about something, it takes it to somewhere completely different, and it allows me to kind of, like, go off in places with my voice that I haven't been able to before. And that's what I love about doing the Soul Saver stuff. So then when I come back to my band and I start writing sessions with that, whoever I'm writing with, you know, I've got this, like, new ideas of how I want to sound.
Right.
Right. So
Dave Gahan is here. Soul Savers is the name of the band, Dave Gahan and Soul Savers.
Yes,
I should
correct.
Say. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock.
K-K-K-K-R-R-R-R-O.
Dave Gahan is here. Soul Savers, Angels and Ghosts is the name of the album coming out on Friday. What's going on with this song here, Dave?
It's got a long intro so that we can talk and you can talk and,
You know, talk about the weather.
I've never heard it on the radio, so it's kind of exciting for me.
What's it called?
This song is called All of This and Nothing.
On what station?
We're on K-Rock.
Well done, sir.
Sing your song. Sing out for me. Give it everything you've got. Just one more time for me. Moving from the dark. I'm all of this and nothing. I'm the dirt beneath your feet. The sun that rises while you're
Blackwater high, too high to breathe. And there's a ghost outside my window haunting me.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 9 o'clock.
What did you think of hearing that on the radio, Dave Gahan and Soul Savers?
It was nice to hear it. It did pretty good.
I am always... Look, I'm fascinated with music, and I'm amazed at the songwriting process and the record-making process intrigues me so. And the fact that any song ever gets made and recorded, I think, is a little bit of a miracle because... Like, I'm listening to that melody, and I'm thinking, this is a great melody. How has that melody never been used before? Do you run into that when you're putting music together? Like, oh, this sounds just like?
It's hard to explain songwriting. It's, you know, it's a lot of getting out of the way and letting flow through you what you just feel. Rather than trying to sort of like guide it in any particular way, that usually doesn't work, not for me anyway. And the Soul Saver stuff definitely allows me to do that. I don't know what that is. Rich and I seem to just hit it off like that. He sends me a guitar line or some organ parts or something, and
so he sends you the basics, and then you add the lyrics,
yeah, and the melodies to the top.
Why do you suppose you waited so long to start writing lyrics?
I think that when you're in a band, and certainly with me, for instance, like from as a teenager, you know, starting out like 18, 19 years old, and then you kind of get set in your ways, and by the time, you know, and, you know, to be honest, in Depeche, you know, with Martin being the main songwriter, you know, he's written all these great songs, and there was all these songs for me to sing. I had no desire to really do that. I mean, when I first got in a band, I just was kind of like watching The Damned, and, you know, it was more like, I can do that. You know, it wasn't like I could write a song or play a guitar. It was just like I was watching Dave Vanium and just going, I could definitely pull that off. That was my plan, you know. So, I got to be part of that for a long, long time. And then I sort of hit a wall with that around the time that my band put out Exciter. I was kind of like, you know, I need to be doing something else here, you know. It was just a creative thing, like within the studio, with between us or whatever. And I found out that was basically I had to get in the game, you know. I had to really get into the writing.
And it seems to be so satisfying for you now.
You know what? I couldn't be happier. I really feel like, you know, after all these years as well of doing this, which I feel incredibly fortunate to do, it's like, who would have thought this? You know, especially me, like after all these years that I'm doing things that are still exciting me and I still feel like I'm growing as a musician and learning stuff. I mean, that's the most exciting thing, is like I'm still learning stuff.
You were telling us about rehearsing with this band and how yesterday the
gospel choir shows up.
Yeah.
It sort of excited you. Like, that was great.
Oh, they came walking in. You know, they just got off a plane from down in South America performing with Blur. And they sang on this album as well. Wendy Rose and Janet and TJ, Janet Cook. And to get the people that sung on the album to be working with you live as well is kind of like, it's tough to do when you've got such great people. And a lot of the musicians that have all showed up for this record, played on the album, we're very fortunate. 10 musicians on stage, including myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Only 6 dates?
Only 6 dates at the moment. We sort of decided to do that because we wanted to really showcase this two records that we've done together. So we wanted to do these sort of theatre performances, which is perfect for the band. Some of them a little bigger than others, but generally, like these, just we picked the venues because we felt like they suited the music. There's no plans at the moment to do anything else, but you know, I'm not ruling it out.
How about TV appearances? Will you do some of those as well?
We are. We're planning some of those kind of all over the place, to be honest. And I think even tonight's show is being streamed live. I'm pretty sure about that. We are doing TV. We're sort of going off to Europe. So when we go to England, we're doing the Jules Holland show, which is the music show. It's a great show.
Great show.
We got on that show, and that's perfect for this band. And we're doing similar things like in France, in Germany, in Italy as well. So it's a bit of a tough schedule, but I'm sort of day at a time.
Well, we're so lucky that Los Angeles is one of the 6 cities that you're performing. Again, it's going to be the Theater at the Ace Hotel, and I think you're right about that. I think they are streaming that live tonight. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be there in person, K-Rock has a pair of tickets to give away to you right now, not only to the show, but for a meet and greet with the band.
Oh,
how about that?
That's pretty cool.
Call now at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. I'll tell you what. Tell Beer Mug when he answers the phone the name of the Soul Saver songs that we just played. The name of the Soul Saver song that we just played, and you will win your way in to see the show tonight.
I could barely remember it, actually. There was a moment there where I was like, it's cold.
And you wrote the damn thing. Hey, Dave, before you go, and great to see you again, sir, sincerely. How do you keep your voice sounding this good? I mean, let's all be honest. Let's put our cards on the table. Gahan is 85 freaking years old.
I don't think that's true.
Listen to him. When we played that song, I just thought, this guy still has a beautiful, rich, full voice. Do you spend a lot of time nurturing that voice and working with it to sound like that?
I live a little healthier today, that definitely helps. But I do work on it. I do, and it's in the songs. You know, it's like what I was saying about the learning thing. When the music comes to you and it feels right, it just pushes me to go places that maybe I haven't been before, and it just feels right.
So the way you sing is somehow dictated by the song that
it definitely. And you know what happens is when Rich sends me these sort of guitar lines or whatever for me to work with, and then once we start getting a structure going on, I'm free to kind of do whatever I want. Then we go back, then we start to build the song around, build the instrumentation around the song. But for me, that enables me to just go off. I do work at it. That's the truth. And, I enjoy it so much more. There's something that's come to me. It's like my voice now.
Dave Gahan and Soul Savers. The album is called Angels and Ghosts, available everywhere for purchase and streaming this Friday. And thanks so much for coming in, dude. Really good to see you again.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be here.
We appreciate it.
I didn't have much of an opinion one way or another on the news last week that Sesame Street was going to HBO. Did you guys have any thoughts on that?
I did.
Yeah, I thought it seemed like a strange home for it.
Yeah,
because they don't do a lot of children's programming.
Yeah.
Anymore.
And it wouldn't be free anymore, because that's why you watched PBS as a kid. You watched it because you would get the Sesame Street, and now it's on a paid program, so you're not getting it up front and free. That was weird to me.
Well, the good news is that because of this new arrangement that Sesame Street has made with HBO, they're going to get a lot more money to make even more Sesame Street than they were making before. So that's some good news. It will still air for free on PBS, the episodes that are made for HBO. 9 months later, show on PBS for free, which if it were a regular adult show that people talk about would make a big difference. But for Sesame Street, it doesn't really matter when you see the episodes, right?
Well, if you're going to learn how to read 9 months earlier than kids that can't afford it.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Great point, Allie.
Thank you.
That's the only place to learn to read, too.
That is the only way you can learn to read.
Absolutely.
But they have a 5-year funding commitment from HBO, and it looks like they're going to be it's going to be a win-win for everybody, they think, except for the poor kids who won't know how to read when they enter school because their parents are too poor for HBO. But, you know, a lot of people were asking, because it's moving to HBO now, Is this gonna make a difference in the program? Is HBO going to have some sort of influence on the content of the show? And I think that's what a lot of people are concerned about, because PBS has done a good job of making shows that are educational and also entertaining. And that's what we hope will continue, right?
I'm sure. Yeah, they can't change it.
Well, I have a trailer if you'd like to hear the first trailer from
already?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, considering we just started talking about it, that's amazing.
So weird.
Here's a trailer for Sesame Street on HBO.
Coming this fall, HBO, the network that brought you The Sopranos, The Wire, and Boardwalk Empire, takes you down a new street, a dark street, a Sesame Street.
Sunny days sweeping the clouds away.
Elmo, I think you still owe me for that cocaine I sold you.
I know, Mr. Kermit. But I'm a little short on money right now. Can Elmo pay you later?
Well, I think he'll pay me now. It's not easy being green.
Hey, baby, you want a date?
Yes, I want a date. What's your name?
My name's Cookie.
Oh, Cookie. Meet my monster. No, bitch.
HBO's Sesame Street. When sunny days turn into the darkest nights.
Hello, Mr. Looper. It's Hoopa, Snuffleupagus. Hoopa, what can I do for you?
You can give me all your money.
Snuffleupagus, what are you doing with that gun in your trunk? Put the gun down.
You old man, give me all your money.
Come on, Snuffy, you don't want to do this.
You're right. I want to do this.
HBO's Sesame Street. Brought to you by the numbers 666 and the letters D-O-A. You'll be asking, can you tell me how to get away from Sesame Street?
Can you tell me how to get away? How to get to Sesame Street.
Can't wait. Greg Fitzsimmons coming in the 8 o'clock hour. Pleasure passes for Get Hard.
The Lamb Dog and the Fitz Dog hanging out together today's show.
Is it going to be a dog off?
Dog off.
I don't know how that works, but maybe. Ross tried to kill his wife. Now,
will you stop it? See, it's that kind of loose lip talk that just starts rumors.
You were telling us a story in the office.
Yes.
And it involved pushing your wife off the roof.
It involved
nothing
of the kind. It involved my wife and I teaming up, as all good married couples should, to make their lives better. And so we pooled our resources, and we were quite successful.
Was your wife on the roof?
Of course she was.
Were you?
No. She was dangling on the roof. I was supporting her by holding on to the rope that held her.
No. It wasn't rope.
We didn't have any rope.
This is when we decided things are going south. Ralph chimped on the he didn't spend money for an actual rope. Yes, I said chimp.
I didn't chimp on it, that's for sure.
He used an extension cord. Carrie, are you okay?
Stop it.
Carrie.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Carrie.
My lovely wife, Carrie.
Do you need help?
I'm surprisingly okay.
Okay. So why were you on
the... It was a heavy-duty extension cord. It wasn't one of those flimsy ones you plug your stereo into. This was the one you put your hedge trimmer into. Mm-hmm. Big orange heavy-duty extension cord.
Take me back to the conversation between both of you where you were like, one of us has to go up. Who's it
going
to be?
And why are you going on the roof, first of all?
All right. Let's start from the beginning, right, honey. We have a problem with rodents.
Okay.
We have roof rats. And roof rats, for those of you who aren't familiar with them, are a pain in the ass, especially these, because we have fruit trees. Our neighbor has fruit trees and there's palm trees around. And this is like the perfect storm for roof rats. And they come on our roof, and we have a Spanish tiled roof with the semicircle terracotta tiles.
Right.
And they like to get under those tiles for warmth and to hang out and to chill. And we hear them in our roof scratching around above our bed at night while we're trying to sleep.
Okay.
It's a nightmare.
Oh, so that drives you crazy.
Yes.
Okay.
So we've taken...
How long has this been happening?
I don't know. Carrie, how long have we been dealing with this?
2 months.
2 months.
2 months. All right.
And we've been taking every possible step. We've called every kind of professional. We've had roofers come out and put cement in under every possible orifice they can find in the roof. And it's just, they've done it all. We've done everything we can, and we still hear them.
And we're $5,000 in.
Oh,
professionals. These are professionals who have helped us with our roof rat.
All right. So the conversation about which of you goes on the roof.
Well, I finally decide that I've had enough and I'm going to stop them from getting to our abode.
Right.
Which I'm guessing they get in through the power line or the cable line or the telephone line. So what I've done is I've purchased these large discs that they use on boats. And you put it on the mooring rope of a boat so that the rats can't get from the dock or the wharf to the boat.
Oh, interesting.
It's a big disc that you put on top of the rope, and it's like it blocks them from being able to crawl up the rope.
They can't pass.
I think to myself, ah, ha, ha, if it works for boats, it'll work for a house. And think rope, just think high-voltage power line. That's all. And so I say, someone's got to get out there on the roof and get it done.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'll go. I volunteered. I said, I'll go.
Carrie, is that true?
No.
Come on. I said, I'll go. And my wife said, your big fat ass will break all our tiles. And we just had them replaced.
That part I did say.
Yes.
Okay.
So she had to go. She was the only choice. She's petite. She's light. She's small. She can get out there without breaking the tiles.
Okay. Now,
and I'm burly and strong, and I can hold her up with an extension cord.
Yeah, with an extension cord.
Now,
was there a second, Carrie, where you went, I'll do it, but I'd rather have a rope than an extension cord?
No, the extension cord was my idea, actually.
See? There you
go.
Because here's what happened. I get home from school with Olivia. Ralph is sitting on the couch, and he says, I'm so tired, I can't even nap because of those rats.
Yeah.
And I said, well, when are we going to put those discs on the lines? And he goes, well, babe, I don't know. I'm busy. I have to go to the hardware store and get a rope. And I said, let's just use an extension cord and get up there and do it.
Wow.
Wow.
She was motivated.
And Ralph says, what about the kid? And I said, well, take her up there, too.
Nobody was there to watch the kids. We did have our 4-year-old up on the roof with us.
Wait.
What?
That's a joke.
No, she was up there. But it's a flat roof, and then there's a big soffit, like a 3-foot-tall soffit.
Carrie, you took your kid up there?
It's a flat roof,
guys. I don't care. Jeez.
It's like Mary Poppins. She loved it.
We gave her an umbrella.
We made smoke steps.
Oh, wait, she has a front row seat when mommy dies. That's a terrible plan. All right, so you go up there. You're on the roof with Olivia. Then what?
That I lower my wife out onto the incline part of the roof.
Oh my God.
Where the shingles are.
Hey, babe, you're forgetting the part about where you told me to put on rubber gloves since I was touching a live power line.
I did suggest insulated rubber gloves.
What's happening?
So that, well, I said, don't touch the line. Just ease the disc over the line and then close the latch on it.
Can you put it on without touching the line?
You absolutely can.
Okay.
But just in case.
And
I said, you should take these insulated rubber gloves, just in case you get
near
the high voltage power line.
That would help her not be electrocuted?
Of course, Allie.
Rubber gloves?
Yes.
Come on.
Carrie, that seemed like a good plan to you, the gloves?
It did until I actually got out there.
Uh-huh.
And I did touch the line, by the way. I kind of had to. So just so you all know, you can go home, climb on your roof, and touch your power line, and you won't die.
I don't know.
We don't
that's
recommend
I don't
that,
think
though.
That's legally, I don't think we would say that to anyone.
Leave it to the professionals. Get a professional lineman to do this kind of work for you.
Hey, Carrie?
Yes.
Do you ever watch Dateline?
Allie's convinced this is some sort of elaborate insurance scam on my part to get to off you and cash in.
I'm concerned, Carrie.
Did Ralph just change his life insurance policy on you?
We don't have one on me, actually. Or we only have one on him.
Yeah. Or do you
so
now?
If anybody's in danger, it's me.
So has it helped?
You know, I think it has. I didn't hear them last night.
I didn't either.
But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to come back. I mean, this has happened before where they're gone for a few nights and then they're back. Yeah. And I just, it was like sleep deprivation. I think that's why I made such a poor decision of going onto the booth because I'm desperate to have a good night's sleep in my own bed.
We are desperate.
Look, not getting sleep is one of the worst things.
The house is quiet and you hear, and we thought maybe it's in the ceiling. God, please let it be in the ceiling so that we can put traps or poison or something in there and get them. But they came out and said, no, they're actually under your tiles in the roof. They're not in the house, so we can't do anything for you.
Cut to 10 years from now, Olivia's on the roof going, no, my mom and dad did it. It's perfectly fine.
This is where we hang out.
What we do.
This is the garment party.
No, we don't need a rope. Just get an extension cord.
Hey, give me some rubber gloves. I'm going to start swinging on the power lines.
Oh, dear.
But I think you're in danger, Carrie.
She's not in danger.
Well, you know what? I will keep my heads up next time Ralph asks me to something crazy.
Like go on a hike or a cruise.
She did a great job, by the way. She did three lines. Three lines. They're all dizzed up. And our house is now secure from the roof rats. That's the kind of wife I have.
You are bad decision makers.
We're gymnasts.
Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome. All right. Have a good day.
Bye, honey.
Bye now.
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah.
Another great year of work here on the Kevin and Bean Show in 2015. Omar is the guy who works behind the scenes. He does so much work for us that he does not get the credit for it. But one of the things that the listeners have come to know are the little intros that he does for games and giveaways and things like that. And people are really into them. I can't tell you how many times we get a request for one of Omar's intros as a ringtone on somebody's phone.
It's bizarre.
So as we do, as we look back on the year just passed or almost over, we do a series of top tens. And today's is the top 10 Omar intros of 2015.
The top 10 Omar intros. The top 10 Omar intros. And I don't think I really
blow.
The intros are the best thing on the show.
The top 10 Omar intros.
And now it's time to let you
the
know.
The top 10 Omar intros. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, do you ever just sit there and just look at the microphone and go, I got nothing on this?
No, for the most part, I could come up with something, but my favorite part of this job is, like, you know, when you guys throw out something, and you guys expect me to do it. And
oh, it's
so
crazy.
So then I was like, I'll commit to that. And then when I record it, it doesn't come out quite as I hear it in my head. That's the best.
Right,
that's,
but I'm saying most of us, if somebody said to us, you need to go make an intro for whatever nonsense bit we were doing on the air, we wouldn't be able to come up with anything.
It's pretty insane. But for the most part, no, I'm kind of past that. To be honest, there was a couple of years where I would have anxiety because I thought that I wouldn't be able to come up with anything.
You realize you could just slap any old crap on there.
Absolutely,
and we're good.
Exactly, yeah.
How many intros, though, did you do for us in 2015?
You know what? This year, you guys came at me hard.
Yeah.
We had intros for every little thing. Like, you know, Kevin's going to fart! You know, it was crazy.
That you guys needed an intro.
You know, so I think this year I did probably over 40.
All right.
If not around 50.
Walk us through the top 10.
That was insane. Number 10, we did a game for Ted 2 tickets, and we called it Barely Famous, and here is me trying to do the theme from Jungle Book. Here's my best Baloo impression.
We're playing Barely Famous Bears, Ted 2 ticks, if you care, Ralph Garman will give you if you're right. We're playing Barely Famous Bears. Come on, show me your underwear. Tattoo is sure to be out of sight.
Barely Famous.
All right.
Got to rhyme something with bear,
right? That's right. Sure. Pretty sweet.
At number 9, here's a good example of you guys. Ralph threw out a name for a game and threw out a suggestion for a song to use. And the game was Express Your Elf. We were giving away tickets to Danny Elfman at the Hollywood Bowl, and he's like, you gotta use Madonna's Express Yourself, and this happened.
Don't go for second best, baby. Put your love to the
didn't want to bring that down into a key that you could hit?
No, you know, I mean, when you go for it, I got to go for it. You know what I mean?
And a key that you can sing?
Well, you know, I'm just saying. That's just not my
style. We're up to number 8 of the top 10 Omar intros of 2015. Now, I don't remember the intro, but I do think this was my favorite game name for the calendar year.
And that's why it's in there, because it's Foor Poo. We're giving away tickets tickets to the Foo Fighters. We would Ralph, I think, would recite either lyrics to Foo Fighter songs or
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, mm-hmm. And this is the intro.
Guess the right one and you'll go see Foo Fighters.
Foo or Poo. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It sure is.
And the kids love it.
And you know what's funny to me, and it always cracks me up, that there's bands that all their career want to get on Kira.
Yeah, and then we're playing that nonsense.
We're playing this. Yeah. Number 7, Clippy with it. We're giving away Clipper playoff tickets. Ooh. And this is what I come up with.
Clipper playoffs, that's the payoff. Proper freestyle and make us go wild. Come on, pick up the mic, check 1, 2. Drop a fat rhyme, these ticks are for you.
Woo!
Clipper Nation, make sure it's a hit. Ha ha! Cause you gotta rap it to win it. Getting clippy with it.
Bingo, me oh my oh.
Cause that's a thing that
right?
That guy says.
Yes, yeah. The Rock Lawler catchphrase.
Yeah, I'm
correct.
So clever.
Yeah, so we're in the office and we go clippy with it. All right, Omar, you'll do the intro. And that's all we do.
Yeah.
He comes up with that.
Number 6, Super Teams. We're giving away tickets to see Ant-Man.
Okay.
And Ralph was, you got to use Super Freak, bro. And I don't know if he said bro, but
he didn't. I can.
And I was like, okay, I think I can make that work. You be the judge.
He's a very special ant.
The kind of ant you want to know is feet to his antenna.
Up to his head.
And we'll get you in the screening to see his friends.
All part of his team.
Playing super teams right now.
Super teams, super teams. It's super teamy.
You're pretty funky. You're a funky dude.
You know, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right, into the top 5 now.
Now, top 5. Number 5. It's probably my favorite.
And it's one that Bean complains about all the time.
And that's why it's my favorite. Yep. This is Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
What is it about me hosting a game that you have to include how dumb I am?
Come on, let's be honest.
Look, come on, let's be honest.
All right, number 4, just because I want a banger, is the intro for Mama Mugs.
Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs. She hates the Dodger Blue. It's time for Mama Mugs. Give me some Mama Mugs.
Lame!
That is Beer Mug's actual mother that we talk to on the phone from time to time about Dodger news. Somebody should actually check on her as a result of the Zach Greinke trade, too, by the way.
Number 3, TV sci-fi. We were giving away tickets to Comic-Con, and Ralph suggested this, and I think it did a pretty good rendition of our parody of Pretty Fly for White Guy.
TV sci-fi, baby!
Nerds, nerds!
And all you have to know is your TV sci-fi!
That's not bad, right?
Well,
it's funny.
Define bad.
Well, it's funny.
Yes.
Come on now. Number 2, we had this jingles competition that I got hosed on. I came in at number 2, and I thought mine was pretty good.
Well, you are the king of the jingles, so must have hurt.
Define king.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, this was you versus Ralph versus Beer Mug, and you all were given a topic at the same time and had 30 minutes to put together your own jingle. And what we came up with
Beer Mug had an hour. Ralph and I both had like 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And what was it we asked you to come up with?
It was you guys came at us with
trying to make like a new Sharktopus movie or a new something like that, and we came up with a creature that was half kangaroo, half millipede, I think.
Something like that.
It was called Kangapede.
And this I thought it was pretty strong. This is what I came up with.
Oh, he's coming for you and you. He's part centipede and kangaroo. He hails from Australia. Good day, mate. And he's already you want a place. Kangapede is what you need. Kangapede will make you bleed. Kangapede is what you need. Kangapede, it needs to feed. Kangapede. Kangapede.
thought that little sound effect at the end would have, you know, had me at number one right there.
Stuck the landing.
Mm.
God damn. That sounds like a terrifying creature, but an outstanding theme song, Omar.
All right,
we're up to the best Omar intro for 2015. I can't wait for the reveal.
Number one is one of these things where I kind of just threw something together, and everybody after the show was singing along to it. They're like, oh my God, that's the best intro ever, which I just, it floored me. Okay.
Right.
And it is Lesser Known Adventures.
Yep.
Yes.
And, well, listen to it. Listen to it.
The Lesser Known Avengers. Can you name the Lesser Known Avenger? The Lesser Known Avengers. The Lesser Known, the Lesser Known Avengers. The Lesser Known, the Lesser Known Avengers. This game's called The Lesser Known Avengers.
Now, I try to work my ass off coming up with lyrics and trying to be somewhat clever.
Right.
Okay, you know, and...
And that's the one that sticks?
That's the one that sticks.
Yeah.
You know what the lyrics
because
to that
we
is?
All, yeah, we do. Lesser Known Adventures.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but we were all singing it.
Yeah. We were all singing it for weeks.
I know. It's so bizarre. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all those are the top 10 Omar intros of 2015.
Ladies and gentlemen. Omar intros. Oh. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:36.
Let's give away some more of those tickets for you two at the Roxy. You guys want to? 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 if you want
over.
To go. That biggest band in the world.
That show's over.
Smallest
that was,
club.
It was last night.
You're going to have a great...
That was not, it's last night.
It was... Oh, that's right. Hey, we did talk to the guys. We played the interview earlier today. We'll put it up at KROQ.com if you missed. If you want a chance to hear you two. They were delightful. So much fun catching up with them after the Roxy Show. Good times.
Frankie the weatherman.
Frankie McDonald, Nova Scotia's most beloved weatherman.
He's the guy who started doing the weather forecast. Was it on YouTube? Is that where
yes.
he started?
Yeah. His YouTube channel, Kevin, has over 10 million views. He is popular all over the world with his weather. And what he does is he monitors weather on his home computer, and then he issues warnings to people. You know, for instance, if there's going to be a if there's a chance of a tornado in Oklahoma, he'll come on and he'll make a video just for Oklahoma and he'll warn everybody. Well, let me give you a little bit of an example of what Frankie sounds like if you haven't heard him.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Massive storm is headed towards Nova Scotia on Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. It's going to bring up to 20 plus centimeters of snow. Then it's going to change over to rain. During snowstorm, it's going to cause blowing and drifting snow. It's going to be white old conditions, zero visibility, roads will be real bad, it's going to be snow-covered roads, streets, highways, and Trans-Canada Highway, because it's going to be a lot of snow.
A lot of snow, okay.
A lot of snow.
So, Frankie, he does, I don't think he's trying to whip people into a needless frenzy, I think he's just really excited about the weather, and he urges everybody to make sure to have their batteries, and have their radios, and have their water, and pizza. He just wants you to be prepared. Now, last week we talked about him on the show because he issued a very unusual warning for Southern California. We were very confused about this. We got Frankie on the line. We're going to find out what he was talking about here.
This is Frankie McDowell, my own TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Attention, citizens of California. Severe taco warning has been issued for California. It's going to be a lot of tacos will be falling from the sky. In the state of California, it's going to bring a ton of tacos will be falling from the sky.
Uh-huh.
In the state of California and the surrounding areas, people in California, you need to be prepared for a lot of tacos.
A lot of tacos. All right. Frankie McDonald joins us on the line from Nova Scotia right now. Hey, Frankie.
This is Frankie McDonald, my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Frankie, great to have you back on the show. Please explain, why is it raining tacos in California?
That was a joke I made about the weather.
Oh, okay, so you're not confused or concerned that there's actually food falling from the sky.
No, that was me doing a very funny joke about the weather, about tacos coming out of the sky.
Okay.
Now, did you make up the joke or did somebody else give it to you?
That was my joke. It was a joke I made about tacos coming out of the sky as if tacos are weather.
Right. All right. Well, good. Well, maybe we'll ask you about the weather before we go. But there's another story with Frankie McDonald in the news this week about a guy who is such a fan of yours, Frankie, and I'm sure you saw this, that he got a tattoo of your face on his leg.
Yes, on May 22nd, 2015, a gentleman got his face of Frankie McDonald on my own TV station live from Nova Scotia right on his own leg.
His name is Ernest Acosta. He was in Odessa, Texas, and he went in and he had a photograph of you and they put it on his face. I mean, that's an ultimate tribute to have somebody put you on their body for life.
It's very flattering for Frankie McDonald, my own TV station, live from Sydney, Wisconsin, to be appearing on somebody's leg, putting ink into his skin.
Frankie, did you think it looked like you?
I did think it looked like Frankie McDonald, his own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. The tattoo was very much resembled Frankie McDonald from my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Now, do you think it was a good idea for somebody to do this, or did he take his fandom too far?
It was an excellent idea for that gentleman to put a tattoo of Frankie McDonald, my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia, and write live on his own live leg.
Now, is that the only one that you've heard of, or are other people doing it?
To the best of my knowledge, it is the only tattoo for Frankie McDonald from his own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia, everyone has ever tattooed on his body.
Frankie, what is it, if you don't mind me asking, what is it that you find so fascinating about the weather? Why do you spend so much time telling people what their weather is going to be, sometimes thousands of miles away from where you live?
The weather affects everyone, rich or poor, if you're single or married. Everyone has to have the weather and to deal with the weather. It's the most important information you can have. That's why Frankie McDonald, myself, from my own TV station, live from City of Scotia, like to give weather to everyone.
All right, since we have you and we're heading into the weekend, is there anything we need to look out for in Southern California?
This is Frankie McDonald, live from my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. Major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California Friday, May 29, 2015. Los Angeles, California will be having a major warming trend, which means temperatures will be reaching 80 degrees Fahrenheit with partially cloudy, partially sunny conditions. Then on Saturday, May 30, 2015, Los Angeles, California will continue a major warming trend, which means temperatures will be reaching 82 degrees Fahrenheit with partially cloudy conditions in the morning with increasing sun. Sunshine in the afternoon. Temperature will be 82 degrees Fahrenheit. A major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California. On Friday, May 29th and May 30th of 2015, it will bring lots of sunshine and warm temperatures. There'll be a lot of sun with no precipitation. The moist air is coming mostly from the Gulf of Mexico. That will cause a major warming trend in Southern California from the people in Southern California.
Calm down.
So be prepared to get your flip-flops, your cargo shorts, sun visors, t-shirts, tank tops, swimsuits ready. Order your pizzas and your Chinese food, other good summertime food. Maybe have a barbecue. Buy cases of Pepsi and Coke. Do your sunscreen shopping. Don't wait till the last minute. Do it right now. Have your iPads, your iPods, your cell phones, laptops, and tablets charged. Have your 3G and 4G internet connections running just in case the power goes out due to air conditioners running day and night. Have your flashlights, generators, crank up radio, extra batteries, and battery operated lanterns ready. When you're driving your car, turn on your air conditioning, or perhaps you can roll your windows down to get some fresh air. Or if you have a convertible car, put the roof down on that convertible car to allow the sunshine and warm warming temperatures that are inside your car in Southern California. The major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California on Friday, May 29, 2015. It will bring sunshine and warm temperatures, especially in Los Angeles County and the cities surrounding it.
Right.
Agoura Hills, California.
Uh-huh.
Alhambra, California.
No,
Arcata, California.
Right.
Artesia, California.
Southern California.
Azusa, California. Baldwin Park, California.
Right.
Bell, California.
Okay.
Bell Gardens, California.
No, we got
Bellflower, California.
We got it, Frank.
Beverly Hills, California.
Skip this part.
Bradbury, California. Burbank, California.
No, we understand the whole area. He's
Carson,
up to the
California,
seas.
Yeah. Cerritos, California. Okay. Claremont, California.
Everybody's in California.
California.
Warm
Compton,
weather.
Compton, California. Covina, California.
Okay, Frankie.
Cudahy. What the hell kind of name city is that?
I don't know, to be honest.
Cudahy. C-U-D-A-H-Y.
Apparently it's a place, Frankie.
Huh.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Mean Joe. It is 20 minutes till 9. Hey, real quick, let me open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. We are giving away some tickets to IndyCar, AutoClubSpeedway.com. If you want to buy tickets, coming up in a couple of weekends, June 26th and 27th at the Auto Club Speedway. If you love the see car go fast, call right now, 1-800-520-1067, caller 20. You win. Ralph, I'm glad you're back in here.
What?
Yesterday, you almost had a nervous breakdown when you heard this Kim Kardashian letter to her future self.
Letter
you want to bring kids up to speed on that?
Glamour magazine stupidly asked Kim Kardashian to do something other than pose for a picture. They did this little video bit where she had to write a letter to her future self in the year 2025, 10 years into the future.
And I think what they were shooting for was maybe some introspection on her part, some reflection on what her life is now and what she hopes it will be. Stupidly, however, she started to ask herself questions in the future as if she was going to get some kind of answer. Is On Fleek still going to be a thing she needed to know? Will we still be taking selfies? She just exposed her inanity, her stupidity, by asking her future self questions. And I said, how dumb can a woman be?
Here's a little bit of that.
Are you still filming Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Are you still decorating our dream home? Are selfies still a thing? Are the terms bae and on fleek so 2015? If not, am I still on fleek?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. By the way, if it takes you 10 years to decorate your dream home, you need a better designer. You need to go by Bed Bath Beyond, just pick some stuff up and just put it out around the house.
Doesn't seem that difficult.
Yeah, right.
What a colossal waste of time that whole exercise is on somebody like Kim Kardashian. As you said, it completely misses the point of what it's about, right?
Right.
And completely.
So we here at the Kevin and Bean Show asked Bean and Kevin to write letters to themselves in the future.
Oh, you did?
In the year 2025. And I think they also perhaps missed the point of the exercise because Bean and Kevin have both their audio letters to the future, and I think maybe they also failed. Let's listen to Bean's letter first.
Dear Bean in the year 2025.
Huh,
2025. Do people still listen to Zagger and Evans in the year 2025? Because, you see, they had a song for the year 2025. Is this thing on? There's so many hopes I have for the future. Have they found a way to make chocolate milk colder? I can imagine you, future Bean, are in the best of health, because you're the healthiest man in the world.
Uh-oh.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I wonder if you're having sex with robots right now. If so, give her one for me. Daddy Likey.
Oh.
But I have to tell you, future Bean, I'm concerned. Is the post office still operating in 2025? It's still the best value to put a stamp on a letter and get it put anywhere in the United States. If they did try to disband it, I hope you put up a good fight. Unless you're Jar. In that case, lucky you. I just hope you don't forget where you come from, future Bean. So let me remind you with this one piece of advice. Don't make any more Periscope videos of ferry trips. No one seems to enjoy it. Love, Bean from now.
I think Bean farted while he was making that letter.
It sounded like a fart sound while he was writing that letter.
It's weird.
Weird.
How dare you?
So then we asked Kevin to write a letter to himself 10 years in the future, the year 2025.
And I'm pretty sure I understood it a little better than Bean.
It's a remarkable letter.
Dear me, in future 2025, you are living 9 years in the future. I hope soccer is still going on. Do they have a way now to not make ending 0-0? I also hope you're living in a world where every movie is just loud and no more people try to talk about people's things. Also, maybe in the future you live in, future Kevin, the words are not important, so people don't need you for saying things worry. I want to give you advice on how to remember to be who you are now. Back then, in now where I am now. But I realize you hate old things and you won't care what I think because I will be living in old times. So just get in your rocket-powered party bus and go to Las Space Vegas. Woo! Poker! Love me, old Kevin, who you don't like because I'm old. But you're older than me, so I don't like you either. Stupid, dumb, absurd.
Yeah, I think maybe you guys
missed the mark.
Maybe take another shot at that.